Abbas Karimi was born without arms, and for many years, he says he wondered how he could ever be something. Then he found swimming. And in 2017, at the World Para Swimming Championships in Mexico City, he made history in the men's 50-meter butterfly as the first refugee athlete to reach the podium there.
And it looks like it is silver to Karimi, the independent participant there. A 42.35. What a swim from him. And Zapatakis will take the bronze.
Abbas Karimi was born in Afghanistan. At age 16, he and his family fled the war there, living in refugee camps before making it to the U.S. The 24-year-old now lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and next month he will have the honor of competing for the first time at the Paralympic Games taking place in Tokyo. He will do so as a member of the Paralympic refugee team. Abbas Karimi joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me.
And how are you feeling ahead of the Tokyo Games? Are you ready?
Yeah, you know, I've been training my whole life for this, you know, to be able to reach that level and compete at the Paralympic Games, you know. So, you know, my dream came true, and of course, I'm a little bit nervous, but, you know, I have a lot of excitement, and I'm ready.
This past year has been difficult for many people, no matter where they live, because of the pandemic. It's impacted how many athletes train and travel, to be sure. I'm wondering how it has impacted you.
Well, when the COVID started, the pandemic, you know, I couldn't swim for 4 months, and that was the biggest challenge. But at the same time, I was doing dry land, and even the gym was not open back then. And, you know, I was just running and doing some other workouts without weights and without water to just keep myself in shape. You know, I did what I could control, and that was it, you know.
It's already been announced that there will be no fans in the stands at the Tokyo Olympics. Those start in just a couple of weeks. The Paralympics will take place 2 weeks after the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, and we still don't know if fans will be allowed in the stands for your competition. Is that something you're thinking about, what it might be like swimming in empty arenas?
Well, you know, this year I went to two big meets, and there was no fans, without fans being there and cheering for us. So for me, it's become like a normal, you know, it doesn't matter for me.
I think we need to hear something about your life. You have overcome so much. We've already said you lived as a refugee. You left your home country of Afghanistan when you were 16 years old to go first to Iran. Tell me about that.
You know, me and my oldest brother, you know, he was willing to help me. He, you know, he got a passport for me, and everything got fixed, and he, you know, we flew to Iran together, and after a week, I went to, you know, Turkey, and walking one mountain to another mountain, and finally somehow I got to Turkey. So
you got to Turkey, and let's be clear, you're not a world-class swimmer who's making this journey, right? You hadn't even really started swimming yet.
Yeah, I had to start from zero, and I had to find a coach, a team, and everything. So I was nobody.
And you found a pool and a place where you could swim in a refugee camp?
Yes, and I've been in four different camps, different cities in 4 years in Turkey. And every city that I was, I had to find a new coach or a new team, you know, every city that they moved me to, one to another city, one camp to another camp. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Abbas Karimi, a swimmer who will be on the Paralympic refugee team next month in Tokyo. And again, Abbas, you are a person who was born without arms. You swim the butterfly event. Tell me about your swimming motion. How do you propel yourself through the water?
You know, butterfly is one of the hardest stroke in the swimming events. And the first time, in my first race in Afghanistan, I was doing breaststroke and backstroke only. And, you know, it took me a lot of years to I work on my dolphin kick and then start doing butterfly without arms, and which was not easy. It took me many, many years, a lot of hard work. And, you know, before a race, we do warm-up. Then I'm ready to, you know, race for 50-meter butterfly, and that's how I prepare myself.
And you said it's a dolphin kick you do. Do you literally, using your legs and your torso, do you propel yourself up out of the water as you swim?
Well, when we jump, you know, we go like 15 meters underwater. That's how we allow to win. Underwater, we do dolphin kick, and mostly it's using your core and then your legs. And it's the whole movement, the whole body has to move, but it's mostly its core. You know, the swimmers without arms, they breathe from their side.
Okay. I'm thinking how swimmers with arms, when they're doing the butterfly, literally, they're it's like they're leaping out of the water with each stroke. And I'm trying to compare that to what your movement looks like.
They took a lot of breath, you know, people with, you know, the regular swimmers with arms and legs, when they do butterfly, they after each dolphin kick, they breathe. But we don't breathe after every kick. We do like four or five dolphin kick, and then we start breathing. And in 50-meter butterfly, most of these swimmers, and including me, we breathe 3 times or 4 times, and that's it. We don't breathe no more than that, because the more we breathe, it slows us down. So we have to keep going. We have to have a very strong, long breath, so we can handle it, you know. Without the breathing more, we can finish it as soon as possible and hit the wall with our head to touch the wall, you know, to get the first place.
So let's get back to Tokyo, looking ahead. You go to Tokyo not representing a country. You are part of a team of 6 athletes. All are refugees that represent more than 80 million displaced people around the world, including 12 million who are living with a disability. Most teams have geography, a homeland in common. You all share something else, which is the fact that you have all had to flee your country. What is that like, being part of this group of very elite athletes with a story that goes well beyond the athletic competition?
You know, it makes a lot of sense that I be part of the refugee Paralympic team, because, you know, I'm a refugee and I've been a refugee for 9 years, and what I've been through and what 80 million displaced people have been through, or millions of refugees, no matter what we've been through, and we all went to do, you know, do something positive. And sport, you know, can, you know, build friendships, and it can create friendships, and we can create peace through sport, and it means a lot. And that's the goal, is, you know, to, you know, make the world a better place, you know, for all our, you know, for the whole people in around the world. And for me especially, representing 80 million displaced people is a big honor, and I'll do my best to be a good representative.
You're very much aware, I'm sure, that young girls, young boys around the world who may have a disability will be watching you very closely.
I know, but yeah, you know, for me, the thing is that the only thing that I can tell them is, you know, it's okay if you're born different, you know. No one is the same in this world, and everyone is different, but we all have to accept ourselves and accept each other the way we are and move on with the life. And I hope I'll be a good representative for, you know, for all the people who has disability, and make their world better place, and, you know, show and prove the world that it's okay that we don't have some part of our body and we have some disability. But at the end, you know, it's our brain, our heart. You know, as long as they're okay and they're working, you know, we're all the same.
That's Abbas Karimi, a swimmer and member of the refugee Paralympic team heading to Tokyo. Abbas, thank you so much, and we wish you good luck.
Thank you so much.